Tutorial Guild Hall. This is a safe zone. Warning, level timers are still active.
I shouldn't have let you in.
I examined the rat creature. He wore a black vest and blue pants. He had a pair of well-worn sandals on his feet.
Mordecai! Rat Hooligan. Level 50. Guildmaster of this guild hall. This is a non-combatant NPC. Hooligans are the smartest, fastest, and ugliest of the ratkin race. While not as roided out as a rat brute or as I'm a fireball yo ass as a rat shaman, rat hooligans offer the best of both worlds. They are physically strong and they have a decent grasp of magic.
Through the door, I could still hear the screech of goblin machinery just outside. I mentally clicked on the first of several information boxes cluttering my vision.
Error. You may not access this until you have completed the tutorial.
All the boxes disappeared, swooping away into a single folder item that started to blink. I stood in a wide room about the size of a classroom. A fireplace and bed dominated one side of the room. Several shelves dotted the walls on the left half of the room, filled with random objects and a few framed photographs of bird-like creatures. The other half of the room was nothing but a well-worn and oval-shaped gray carpet and an empty desk. A half dozen classroom-style chairs lay scattered about. I turned back to the door.
Is this the only way out of here?
What?
The rat wasn't paying attention to me. He was focused on the cat.
Yo! Morty! Is this the only exit?
It's Mordecai, kid. And yes, of course.
Are those green assholes going to still be waiting for me when I get out of here?
Donut jumped up on a high shelf and knocked a vase over. Ash spilled out.
Mom!
Mordecai ran to the shelf, shooing the cat away. He reached up for the shelf, but he couldn't reach.
Damn this body! Can you just grab that thing for me? Get him out of here! I think I might be allergic.
I didn't think he was sneezing because of the cat, but because of the gray cloud of dust that had formed around the spilled ash.
Holy shit, man.
Be careful. He doesn't seem too tough, but he's level 50. That's gotta mean he's a powerful bastard.
Can you help me? Are they going to wait for me or not?
Yes. No. Probably. Well, it's complicated. One might wait, but one will definitely go back to their clan and call the others. You smashed that poor goblin's head right in. Give them an hour, and the whole family will be out there.
Across the room, Donut discovered the fireplace, which crackled merrily. The cat sat in front of it, lifted her leg, and started licking herself. Shit.
Okay. Don't you dare lock this door.
You're tracking my mother's ashes all over.
The goblin tractor had overshot the doorway about 10 meters and was in the middle of a wide turn, trying to come back the way it had come. The engineer had driven the tractor right into the wall. The spinning wheel sparked as the spikes shredded against the stone. The dead goblin remained smeared over the tiles. The corpse looked more like a party-sized sausage and green pepper pizza that had been run over a few times. Both of the remaining goblins had their backs turned to me. I sprinted toward the vehicle. The murder dozer had a small ladder near the back. It looked as if it was made of bones tied with rope. One of the goblins would turn at any moment. I had to get them now. If one of them got away and warned the other members of its clan or whatever, I'd be screwed. I needed this tutorial guild, so I only had one choice. The jagged bones of the ladder ripped into my bare feet as I pulled myself up. I stifled a cry. I jumped onto the top of the metallic, whirring contraption. The murder dozer screamed so loudly that neither had noticed me. The whole top of the machine was nothing but a fur-lined, recessed hole with benches running the length. Despite the fur, the ground was hot on my feet, almost burning. It smelled of scorched tar and animal musk. The machine could probably carry about 15 or so goblins, not including the driver, who had a seat up front. A dozen levers and spigots and vibrating handles extended from the floor in the cockpit area. The controls all vibrated and bounced up and down. The pan-wearing goblin sat in the seat, screaming and grunting something as he twisted and turned and pulled on levers. Smoke billowed and steam hissed from multiple pipes. The whole machine vibrated like a boiler about to blow. The smooth, rocky ceiling of this tunnel was much lower than the long, main hallway leading off the stairs. When I stood to my full height, I could reach up and touch it. Barely. It still amazed me. The idea of an entire world made up of these hallways and paths. I rushed forward and grasped onto the regular goblin, who still clutched his pineapple-less stick in his hand. The creature barely weighed anything, surprising me. I picked him up as he grunted in surprise. He unsuccessfully attempted to hit me with his stick. With all of my strength, I threw the goblin forward. He rocketed out of the passenger area of the dozer. The screaming monster sailed directly over the head of the engineer, who was only now starting to react. The flying goblin crashed into the tunnel wall that bounced back, landing directly onto the spinning front blades. A spray of red showered over the both of us. The final goblin snarled, and quick as a whip, pulled a small, curved blade from a sheath on his side. He jumped from his chair and rushed at me. The monster moved much more quickly than I anticipated. Surprisingly, I had to remember this was a different class than the last two, and he was a level higher. Two levels higher than myself. This was a dumb idea. What was it that B always said? You just jump headlong into things without thinking it through. I kicked the goblin with my bare foot. With nobody at the controls, the tractor continued to whine and shred at the dungeon wall. The vibrations got worse by the moment. Soon the whole thing was bucking like a washing machine with a rock inside it.
You're in my world now! You need to speak my language, you weird green piece of shit!
To my surprise, the goblin grinned. I could tell he understood me. The little monster switched the knife back and forth between hands.
You're not speaking your language! You're speaking Syndicate Standard, you idiot slave! They programmed it into your brain? Do you really think you'll survive past the...
Zoink!
The goblin never finished the sentence. As he was distracted with his own soliloquy, I leaped forward, snatched the pot off his head, and clobbered him with it. Sharp little teeth went flying. The goblin stumbled. I smacked him again. He careened off the side of the tractor. His health bar appeared after I'd smacked him the first time, but it was still well in the green. He splattered to the ground, groaning. His knife went flying. I peered over the edge. The goblin lay on his back. The tractor continued to spin and buck, but it was edging in the opposite direction. The goblin's health was still 3/4 full, but he'd had the wind knocked out of him. The goblin started to sit up, and I threw the pot at him. To my utter astonishment, I clobbered him right in the forehead. The goblin's hands reached to grasp the new wound. I gauged the distance. It wasn't very far, like maybe 7-8 feet. I'd done that plenty of times as a kid. What the hell? I jumped off the murder dozer, aiming both feet toward the chest and stomach of the still recovering goblin. I'm not sure if I mentioned this earlier, but this is important information right here. I stand 6'3" tall. I weigh about 230 pounds. And while I wasn't in nearly as good shape as I was while I was on active duty, I'd been hitting the gym 3 times a week for years, building my muscle mass. I'd always been blessed with one of those bodies that naturally held muscle well. My dad was a linebacker. Hell, even my mom was 5'10", and her dad had played center for Oregon State before becoming a prison guard. So, what I'm getting at is that I'm a large dude. I have a lot of bulk. The goblin was small, and he did not have hardly any mass at all. The effect of me jumping onto him from high above was like someone smashing a fat jelly donut with a sledgehammer. The little dude didn't have a chance. Goo spurted out of the goblin from every orifice. The murder dozer started to whine even louder. I looked down at what I'd done.
Oh, my God.
And I suddenly felt sick to my stomach. More notifications appeared on my screen. A tooltip popped up, appearing in my peripheral vision. I turned to look.
Goblin murder dozer. Boiler breach imminent.
A countdown timer appeared below the text. It was at 12 seconds and counting down. Son of a bitch. It's gonna blow. I turned back toward the room, a mere 30 meters down the hall. Was that too close? I didn't have time to think about it. I ran, slipping and sliding on the tiles as I booked it back to the room. I ripped open the door and jumped inside. I slammed the door and braced for impact. The world shook. The door bucked, throwing me forward onto the floor of the guild hall. My ears rang, but the door held, and I didn't seem to be otherwise injured. Donut was in the corner of the room, poofed out and hissing.
Oh, what the bloody hell did you do, kid? That gate is capable of holding back a kinetic strike from a Star Destroyer. I'd never seen anything shake it that much.
That goblin bulldozer thing got stuck against the wall, and then it blew up.
A boiler breach, then. The local shaman probably enchanted it in case it ever exploded. If would have focused the energy from the blast at the closest non-goblin. You're lucky you were behind that door. A focused explosion, even a small one, has a lot more energy than you might think.
Having decided the commotion was over, Donut left the corner and returned to her spot in front of the fire. Her normally poofy exterior remained extra puffed out, and her tail swished up and down. I could tell the cat was pissed off.
Your creature, trapped in my mother's ashes. This is so not worth it. Not worth it at all.
So, Mr. Training Guild,
I leaned against the wall. My feet ached. My heart continued to thrash in my chest. I was covered in goblin blood. It felt as if I had raw hamburger meat stuck between my toes. I shuddered. I need to get shoes. Shoes and pants.
What the hell is going on? What's with the dungeon? Is everyone really dead? How do I work this shit?
A million other questions popped into my head. I knew he could probably snap and break me in half, but I had an overwhelming urge to grab the rat man by his stupid vest and shake him until all the answers tumbled out of him.
Also, who the hell are you? Why are you here? What's really—
Okay. Slow down, kid. I know you're confused. I've been in your position. All will be explained. That's why I'm here. But before I start, I need to explain something to you too.
The rat looked over at the cat, who glared back at him.
My name is Mordecai, and I am what's called a non-combatant NPC. I'm like you. I'm a person whose world was displaced. This was many, many solars ago. I was a dungeon crawler just like you. I made it all the way down to floor 11, and I knew I would never make it any further than that. Once you descend to floor 10, you're given several options to exit the dungeon. The deeper you go, the better those options are.
Mordecai picked up a framed photo of one of the bird creatures. He handed it to me. It looked remarkably like a normal framed photo, but the material was peculiar. And the photo was cut oddly, oval-shaped with the corners lopped off.
That's what I really look like. This is a photo of my brother. I was born a skyfowl, but I became a changeling when I reached floor 3 of the dungeon. I switch form every time my guild hall is moved. When a dungeon first opens, I work in a guild such as this. Later on, after the third floor collapses, my room here is transported to a much deeper level, and my form is changed again. I spend most of my time working a magic guild, which is a place one can go to pick spells and train if they've chosen a magic-based path. Oh, over the years, I've only had a handful of people actually make it that far. Most crawlers don't make it past the 10th floor.
So, a changeling is a shapeshifter?
I couldn't tell if it was a photograph or a painting or something else. The eyes of the image seemed to bore into me. It was a golden eagle-like creature. Wings, angel-like, were folded on its back.
Yes. They recreated my home for me, including all my possessions when I decided to become a guildmaster. I had but a few moments to grab anything I wanted before they evaporated it all. Now, every time I move to a new world, they change my shape. It's something different every time, but it's always a type of mob from the current floor of the dungeon. I don't know why.
I don't believe any of this. So you're aliens? You're all from a different world? Then how does the game or whatever know how we talk? Some of those last notifications mentioned Jean-Claude Van Damme and incels and steroids.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Each dungeon is specially built for the world it inhabits, and they spend a lot of time, a lot of time, making sure the locals understand the game and the notifications. They go for authenticity. I'm not really supposed to tell you any of this stuff, but I figure if you're going to be stumbling around out there, you need to know what's happening.
I still don't know what's happening.
You humans are all the same. This is the 7th or 8th human-seeded world, and it's always the same. You always want to know why. Why can't you just accept your circumstances and move on? My people, the Skyfowls, we generally last much longer than you humans. You know why? Because we roll with it.
Human-seeded world?
Did that mean that conspiracy-spouting asshole on TV with the crazy hair was correct? That humans weren't unique, but a crop left to grow unattended until this?
Okay. I'll give you the quick version. You might as well get comfortable.